Alan, I don't think we've taken the time to introduce everybody to the newest member of the Interrupted Tales family.
Oh, well, I got a new employee, huh?
Yeah, doing some light typing, getting us coffee, but I'd like people to meet Jelly, the gelatinous cube, our new mascot and best friend for everybody.
We do love the gelatinous cubes here at Interrupted Tales.
We really do. And, people can actually get their own Jelly the Gelatinous Cube on a pin, at least.
How could they do that, Rob?
They can do it so simply by just going onto iTunes slash Apple Podcasts and reviewing us. You can review us in any way you'd like, but everybody who reviews us, just send us your information on a DM on Twitter at Tale Interrupted and give us your details, and we will send you a Jelly the Gelatinous Cube pin.
Yeah, that's all they get.
No, that is not all they get, Alan. They get an Interrupted Tales postcard with original artwork. They get a sticker for sticking on things. And they get a special membership into the IT Book Club.
That sounds fantastic, Rob. How can I sign up?
You just go
No,
and
you already told me.
It's time. Time. For a thrilling story of romance, adventure, mystery, anything with an expired copyright. It's time for another Interrupted Tale.
Hello, and welcome back to the show that usually ends. It's another episode of Interrupted Tales, the podcast where my friend and I take turns reading stories to you, the listener, while the other person constantly interrupts. With me, as always, my co-host and purveyor of free goods, Rob.
How are you today, Alan?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. That's why we're all here, to see you doing great.
Appreciate you guys coming out tonight. It's really unexpected that you're all here in my office.
It's well, after the show, we have a few things we actually have to talk about, Alan.
Okay.
And let me just move these bottles over, and we'll get to it in a minute.
Great. In the meantime, why don't we dive right into tonight's story? It is from the March 1913 edition of Top Notch Magazine,
Top notch.
a familiar magazine to us here at Interrupted Tales.
We call it the notch, because
Yeah.
we're in with the in crowd.
Yeah, they did the kind of YM rebranding of it.
The notch.
You're reading The Notch. And it is a story entitled The Tennis Court Decides by Robert Carlton Brown. Robert Carlton Brown, according to a quick perusal of Wikipedia,
Very, very quick but
interesting
thorough.
life that seems a little difficult to sum up in 10 seconds or so. A bit of a bohemian, met up with a group of war resistors called Slackers. Him and Jason Schwartzman and Laura Prepon, they all protested World War One and
His life does actually sound a little bit like a Wes Anderson movie.
it does a bit. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, ready to get in here. We got to get this done before we go off to my party.
That's right. Party, Alan. A party. A very serious and thoughtful party.
Great.
We love you, Alan.
I'll sit back, relax, grab a drink, sit down in your favorite couch. That's allowed, right?
Yes, couches are allowed.
And listen while we read you this week's tale. I just like to say this is bullshit. Nobody comes down on the Besotted Geek. They've got two cocktails every episode.
We'll talk about it after the show, Alan.
Yep, I'm waiting for that party. All the boys in the IXL shop were good fellows.
IXL, incredibly extra large. Itinerant xylophone LARPers. Ooh, irritable X-rayed lemurs.
Nope. I'd like to know how the LARPers go.
You like the...
Glockenspiel, Glockenspiel. The boss, old Heddles, set the example. He had worked his way up from apprenticeship in the shops to the office of general manager, and unlike a great many successful men, he did not forget the ranks from which he rose.
No, he bided his time and took names, and would someday have his revenge once the incredible xenon laser was complete.
Okay, I still like the LARPers.
They're not incredible, though.
One of his first unofficial acts was to organize two baseball teams, one composed of men from the shops, the other from the office force.
His first official act was to then declare that the winners would be given bonuses, while the losers would be subjects in the first IXL trials.
Was that an international court? They don't have jurisdiction over us these days.
Not anymore.
Formerly, there had been a distinct line drawn between the mechanics and the pen pushers, but old man Heddles erased it. He got right out into the field himself and umpired the games, imparting the spirit of good fellowship and fair play.
Imparting it directly down the throats of the poor schlubs working for cigarette butts and Irish lottery tickets.
You know, that's what they always say about empires, that they are imparting the spirit of good fellowship and fair play.
That's right.
That's what the ball players always say about them.
Yeah, yeah, really. Tom, they felt so great every single time they hear anything from an umpire.
Tom Gunderson was the most popular fellow in the shops, and he held himself a little above the office force because they had been a bit snobbish before Heddles came, and it was Tom's way of getting even.
Ah, you think you're better than me, college boy? Well, I briefly went to the School of Hard Knocks, and whilst I dropped out before learning how to fully punch someone, I can cock my fist back in a menacing manner pretty good.
Okay.
He didn't complete the School of Hard Knocks, Al.
I'm just glad he said my fist back. I don't know where we were going. Whenever a new clerk came to the office, Tom Gunderson scraped acquaintance with him and held him to the ridicule before all the shopmen. At noon hour, or any time when the audience was large enough to pay him for his trouble.
Hey, fellas, check it out. A guy making $9 an hour more than us. What a jerk! What's that? You earned your money through careful study and hard work? Well, nuts to you, you jerk.
Angry, fits. His pet aversion was young college men.
Whose isn't? Wait, you said aversion. No, never mind.
Whose isn't? Who came straight from the university with very little knowledge of things mechanical and got work in the office at higher salaries than most of the men in the shops.
You know, Alan, I kid Tom Gunderson, but there's a very important message here about how we prioritize production versus capitalization in a free market economy. Still, he's a big dum-dum.
When manager Heddles inaugurated tennis games at the noon hour, Gunderson had a new chance to show up the college men.
Ah, sounds great. Nothing like taking a break from 10 grueling hours of physical labor to play an exhaustive game of tennis. Really gets the muscles loose and gives the child workers something to watch instead of eating.
Well, that sounds cheaper. Boy, and they get to be ball boys. They get to just stand motionless for minutes at a time and then suddenly break into a dash and bend over.
Yeah, well, the bending over helps as they work in the small crawl spaces.
He had played tennis for years, and he won and held the championship of the shops.
You know, maybe I have this all wrong, Alan. Maybe this is a triumphant story of a blue-collar working man who takes on the young preps to show them up. Oh, and he's played by Rodney Dangerfield, right?
I can't get no line calls. I'm talking about line calls over here.
15, love. I don't know what that's like.
Yep. Okay. I think I've heard that bit before.
Yeah, yeah, it's classic. Rap is on Rappin' Rodney, I think.
Along with his deep take on the... prioritization of production versus capitalization.
You know, he was a man of many varied talents.
Yeah, Trotsky and him had a long set of dialogues. So each new college man who came to the office was challenged by Tom, and they usually went down to defeat, which pleased the mechanics and irritated the office force.
All of this, of course, didn't mean anything to the janitorial staff, who weren't even viewed as people at all.
Oh, well, you got a bucket. I mean...
That's the line?
Well, spoken as somebody who has bucketed before. I think you'd know the difference.
Oh, my shame. My shame.
During the spring of 1911, all the employees of the IXL company...
International Excellent Launderers.
Fought for possession of the four tennis courts at noon hour.
Wait a minute. Their factory has four tennis courts? I don't think the Google campus has four tennis courts.
Okay, to be fair, a tennis court is a parking lot with some mosquito netting put up, okay?
All right. I'll give it to them
then. I'm just saying.
Wait a minute, parking lot? This is 1913.
Okay, muddy ditch with chicken wire put across it.
Also making it harder for the child workers to leave.
Tom Gunderson was still the champion, but several promising stars had appeared on the horizon of the office staff, and rivalry was becoming keen.
They had just hired a new man from Eastern Europe named Drago. He looked a little bulky, but he had a killer arm.
I like the idea that these guys have some kind of fantasy tennis draft that they all stay after hours for. And they're like, oh, have you seen this new guy in maintenance? I'm not giving up my spot.
Yes, tennis. The blue-collar workers game of 1913, I'm sure.
I don't know what do they have. It's all doubles. You're like, you got to put together 20 teams of doubles. You shop fellows have had an upper hand in tennis too long, said Manager Heddles one noon hour when Tom had defeated four of the office corps.
I'm going to install a polo field. I'm sure that will even the field. We'll bring our horses and you guys bring your donkeys? I'm sorry, I don't know what you people ride on. Zebras? Wait, that doesn't sound right at all. Let me go ask my driver. He doesn't. He's out of touch.
Yeah.
He's out of touch. He's disconnected from the common man.
There's a new man coming to work Monday. He was the champion athlete at Cornell. And I think he'll give you a good game of tennis, Tom.
He's a good guy, but just be aware that the first thing he will say when you meet him is that he went to Cornell.
He's gonna reiterate that as well. Swell chance for him, said Tom, wiping his hands on his overalls. He'll come all fitted out with a $10 racket, a jersey, white ducks, tennis shoes, and all those things. And I'll beat him out just as I stand. Tom pointed to his black work jacket and heavy shoes. It don't take outfits to win games. I can put it all over him in my shop clothes.
I got married in these overalls. I can sure as heck fire beat some college boy in them.
Where'd you go on your honeymoon? Hee-haw?
Oh, please, like he could afford hee-haw, Alan.
All right, said Heddles. I've warned you, Tom. Before Monday morning, interest in the arriving athlete had become intense in the IXL factory.
Almost as intense as the xenon spill that had cost the lives of 15 men earlier that day. There's always more men, said Heddles.
I just want to ask, what do you think happens in a xenon spill, Rob?
Oh, you'll be happy to know that through a brief tour of Wikipedia, it is actually possible to have a xenon spill that would be intensely cold and burn people.
Really?
Yeah.
It wouldn't just kind of like heavily lay on the floor?
It also heavily lays on the floor, and it warms up very quickly, so the odds of it really hurting anybody are pretty slim. But it's a story, Alan.
Say what? Yeah, I'll bet he's one of those boobs with a stand-up collar and a pink and white face. He'll be easy meat for you, Tommy, my boy, said old Bill Taylor. They'll have a hard time in the front office handing it to the machinist.
At which point, old Bill Taylor grasped his liverwurst sandwich with his three remaining fingers and carefully gummed a bite off it. He was 32 years old.
I don't understand how Xenon could do either of those things.
Well, it's a Xenon isotope.
Oh, that takes fingers and teeth.
Yeah, it basically is a disintegrator. It's all part of the laser project. It's less of a laser and more of a ray gun.
I mean, I think you should probably update the IXL brochures then.
The product
catalog is maybe a little out of date.
We had to lose marketing to bring in more engineers. It's a long story, but yeah, we're going to get caught up on that.
Worst of it is, said Tom Gunderson, those college fellows always think they know everything about shops, too. Most of them are taking mechanical engineering courses, but all they've got is theory.
I'll tell them, I got a theory for you. And then I'll hit him on the head with his pipe before the match. What? Too much?
No, we're talking about tennis here. That's totally fair game.
Office tennis.
I mean, figure skating, that's too much, but tennis. Yes, that's the trouble. No experience like what we've got, said old Taylor, filing away laboriously at a pipe fitting. I'll put my initials on that college kid, boasted Tom Gunderson.
T.E.G. Thomas Elizabeth Gunderson.
Part 2. Monday morning, a number of the machinists were on hand early, loitering about the office door, hoping for a sight of the new office man before the whistle blew.
Sounds like a reverse Diet Coke ad. Ooh, drink that Coke while you sweat over that PowerPoint presentation.
Did you use enough transitions?
Slow down that transition, son.
But nobody saw him. Whenever one of the machinists had occasion to consult another that morning, they both talked about the new college man and what Tom would do to him.
The odds were 3-1 emasculation, but there was some interest raising in the odds of an atomic wedgie.
Oh, sure, there's interest, but you can't get somebody to take the other end of that bet. I mean, that's
the problem.
Just how paramutual works. Noon hour came. In 10 minutes' time, all the shop force had finished their lunches and were waiting at the tennis courts for the new wonder to put in an appearance.
Again, the 4 tennis courts this factory in 1913 has. Oh, you haven't seen the tennis courts yet. They're right past the pool. Turn right at the beach volleyball court.
Right at the beach volleyball.
And then it's just past the unmarked graves of former employees.
Oh, they got graves? That's fancy. We just put a pit.
I don't know where you came from. That place sounds terrible.
I came from a 1913 industrial factory. At last, Manager Heddles came out of his office with a slim, well-dressed, pleasant-faced chap who walked along briskly and shook hands with the shopmen as Heddles called them up to be introduced.
In this corner, weighing in at 185 pounds of poor muscle, from the mean streets of the Lower East Side, you know him as the machinist who's the meanest. It's Ted, the Gun, Gunderson! And in this corner, some nerd who went to one of the lesser Ivy League schools.
And fight! This is a little surprise, said Heddles. My son, Jim Heddles, is the new man in the office. He'll be in the shops in 6 months if he doesn't make good in the office.
Yeah, right. That kid's got Vice President of Falling Upward written all over him.
Sweet, sweet iron parachute. The college man laughed nervously at his father's introduction.
Oh, father, stop. The fellows at the yacht club will never stop razzing me about this.
Constance Fry,
Constance Fry, anytime you call.
Oh my God.
We'll work it out later.
Yeah, sorry. Don't kick me out. I'll get the pitch right. Gunderson, I'd like to see Jim play you a game of tennis. If he isn't any good at it, I'd like to know how to get back the few $1,000 I spent on him at Cornell, said the older man.
I'm pretty sure the only way to get a refund from Cornell involves a bridge and a gorge.
Is that too dark?
Well,
it's not something they're going to put up on their website. I'll tell you that much.
No, it's
it's not in the financial aid section.
It's pretty deep in the FAQs, but there's a lot of clicks.
It's a little dark, yeah. Look here, exclaimed young Heddles. I learned more than playing tennis at Cornell, Dad.
There was also ballroom dancing in that history of jazz class.
Oh, Lord, did you take ballroom dancing too?
Everybody takes ballroom dancing.
Well, maybe you did. Go to it, boys.
We're only a few days away from the shadow finding out what we're merely making here, and I don't want any gold bricking.
Who knows what lurks in the dirty factories of industrial barons? You know who, people. I don't have to tell you.
You tuned into this.
You say it? Come on. We got a good thing going here. You know what I'm talking about.
The shadow narrator finally decides he's had enough to hear with these people.
Hey, fuck it. What are we in, season 19? Good Lord, people. I'm phoning it in.
You know what the shadow knows? The shadow knows I'm out of here. I'm getting a drink next door, boys.
Shadow knows I got paid. Fuck you. The only preparation Jim Heddles made was to throw off his coat and pick up one of the tennis rackets belonging to the office force.
Luckily, he was already wearing short shorts, long white socks, and a sweatband.
You need two sweatbands so that when you sweat through the first sweatbands, you got a sweatband.
That's smart.
He stepped out into the court to oppose Tom Gunderson and the men from the shops and the office force on opposite sides, held their breath, and watched and waited. From the very first, Jim Heddles put it all over Tom Gunderson.
He had what we currently call game, but what they called in 1913, not having scarlet fever.
Yeah, that's a significant advantage, I think.
It definitely gives you a leg up.
I think it's the difference between having ups and mumps. You see, said old man Heddles slyly, Jim hasn't been doing anything for the last 4 years but spend my money and play tennis, while Tom's been working like a man.
Like a man. Starring in a lame sitcom that somehow changes networks while a millionaire pretends he's a blue-collar schmo, just like a real man.
Is there a show called Working Like a Man?
No, but it's the whole... I don't like Tim Allen's whole shtick of being like the middle-class guy when he's like a super millionaire. It really bothers me.
Listen, he's had a lot of problems with drugs and alcohol and the truth, Rob. It's why won't you leave him alone?
I still like Galaxy Quest.
By Grab Thor's hammer, who doesn't? The shop contingent began to look very sad as their hero, Tom, lost the second game on a sizzling Lawford, shot at him by young Heddles.
Ooh, I had a sizzling Lawford shot once, and let's just say that I haven't been invited back for any of my grandmother's birthday parties since.
I would think a sizzling Lawford was more like something they'd serve at the Green Turtle. Evidently, the college man had better stuff in him than the machinists had given him credit for. Tom blew up.
He started asking if manager Heddles was blind and said, "Come on!" over and over again.
Well, it's a good thing he's a man, you know.
He's just a man lose points. Playing tennis on at
topical.
Work.
In an effort to get over as fast a ball as young Heddles, he hit wild. And once he sent the ball flying over the gantry crane between the two big factory buildings.
Oh, man. Gantry Crane was one of my favorite old-timey country singers.
Ugh. Oh, yeah?
I love his song, "Take This Job, I'm Going to Go Play Tennis."
Truly an American classic.
The kids don't know it as much anymore, but it'll be rediscovered.
I'm so lonesome, I could hit some balls against a wall for a bit. The office staff roared as the ball hit the edge of a building and bounced back onto the track of an electric crane.
And the crowd goes wild. Yay!
Leave it there, exclaimed Manager Heddles. Here's another ball. Tom Gunderson was mad. His wrath showed in his red face. He hit viciously and did his very best to outpoint Jim. But the college man came off victorious.
Essentially setting the stage for the next 105 years of America.
Let me just do a little quick math there. Checks out.
Used a calculator.
A love set, he cried at the finish. Want to play another?
No, I can't love anymore. Not after Denise.
Would you like to tell me more about Denise? It seems we have time since there's not a second match to be played.
It's a best of one tournament.
Yeah, we don't even have to get off the court if anybody else wants to play. They've got three others just sitting around. It's, you know, we let the YMCA use it sometimes because we have the only facilities in about a 30-mile range.
It's right next to the baseball diamond and the gantry crane.
And our state-of-the-art FIFA stadium. Yep. We're hoping to get the World Cup next year. Over here at IXL. No, said Tom Gunderson, throwing down his racket and fearing to raise his eyes to his companions. I've got enough. You don't think so badly of this theoretical college man, then, smiled Manager Heddles.
Theoretical college man? Is Manager Heddles unsure of the existence of his son? Is he Schrodinger's graduate?
No, he just, that was his major. Theory.
Theory.
General theory.
Yeah.
You don't want to get too specific.
No, that would hinder you from the theory.
That's how science works, Rob. Oh, he's no good. Tom Gunderson tried to raise a smile, but he looked contemptuously at the young fellow who had beaten him. Get him to try filing a couple of cubes against me. I'll file them so close they stick together. Let him try that.
Ah, they file cubes. Sounds like a solid business plan.
Here at IXL, we have the most filed cubes of any cube filer in the greater cube filing area.
Are you looking for a really cubey cube? Then IXL is the company for you. We're the cubiest.
No, they're filed down. Or they're put into folders. It's not clear. I guess they could be stacked.
They could be stacked and used as bigger cubes.
Heresy. Oh, I haven't got the mechanical end down as fine as you have, laughed young Heddles.
You filthy plebe. Now bow. Bow before your superior.
Yes, sir. It's all fun and games until somebody remembered they are going to be your boss.
Exactly.
I'll admit you're my superior at that. But even if I am a college man, and even if my father does think I'm incompetent, well, I've done a lot of work and had a little experience.
Let's just say I know a thing or two about a thing or two. Plus, I know where Dad buried those two union organizers.
Nope, that son...
What?
We like to not bring that up. And
the burying or the
nope,
killing?
We don't like to say the U word, mostly.
The union.
We don't say that word.
Oh, okay. All right.
We organizers. Can say bury.
And organizers?
That's a little iffy these days. He moved off toward the stairway leading to the gantry crane. Here we go again.
Yeah, unfortunately, this reminds me of Gantry Crane's later attempts at a comeback with the song Stairway Toward the Danger Zone. It's not really good.
No?
No. No, his entire album of stair-based songs. It was really awful. There was
You know, when they're talking about concept rock opera albums, stair-based ones don't come off very often. I could see how that would be a would be a problem.
I remember the Rolling Stone review, which just said blank stairs. Did not get a lot of sales.
Well, didn't get a lot of laughs either, I'm guessing. Tom Gunderson, thoroughly angry, followed him. "Well, I'll try out against you at anything in the shop," he exclaimed, fearing he had lost his prestige among the machinists.
"Oh, no. Billy One Arm would never lose his respect for you, Tom."
"Well, he's lost things before."
"No, but not his respect, damn it, or his pride. And he still has his foot."
"We'll put that off until some other day. Let's hunt up that tennis ball now," laughed Jim Heddles, starting up the stairway to the crane, which ran like a bridge between the two big factory buildings.
"Like a bridge between two factory buildings, cranes will lift things up."
I was hoping there'd be a second
stanza. "Like a bridge between two factory buildings."
Part 3. Tom followed Heddles, his jaw set with dogged determination. "I'll bet I've learned more right here in the shops than you've ever learned out of books."
"Why, just this morning I learned not to stick your hand in the cube press by watching Pete over there. By the by, how you doing, Pete? Still losing massive amounts of blood? What's that? Pete's dead. Well, see, I just learned something else, college boy."
"Well, at least he didn't live to see you get defeated, or maybe that was his last dying act, actually."
"Oh, that's salt in the wounds there, Alan. Oof,"
he declared, turning with a wink to the fellows behind him, who were crowding up the stairway to see the fun. So far, Tom had made a point in not being afraid of the boss's son. But the elder Heddles appreciated the soreness of Tom as much as anybody else, and excused him for it, in view of the fact that he'd been the factory idol for years.
"I don't know, dog. I don't know. I feel your cube filing was a little pitchy, dog. I don't know."
"Okay, I felt it coming on. I felt it coming on, and I liked the choice." Young Heddles paused at the top of the stairway and shouted back, still smiling. "Oh, you've been cooped up over a little bench. All you know is what goes on in the machinist's room. I'll bet you never even learned to run this gantry crane."
"Look, buddy, just because I have a job in an office building doesn't mean I can fix the air conditioning, all right?"
"Really? We don't have a third gantry crane song?" "No," admitted Tom reluctantly, standing beside the college man and blushing in the sight of his companions. "But I'll bet you don't know any more about it than I do."
"That's right. Add another bet. Stick with what's been working so well so far."
"Hey, Pete, I bet you can't put your arm in there." "Sure I do. I know that the power is furnished by dynamos down in the power plant there, and that the cars are run by power from a third rail."
"I also know the secrets that you keep."
"I know that too," said Tom Gunderson quickly.
"When you're talking in your sleep."
Inspecting the long steel rail, at which Jim Heddles had pointed an explanation. "But you don't know how to walk a third rail," said Jim Heddles, with a superior grin, looking down on the 100 or more men from the shops and the offices watching them. "Sure I do," said Tom, not to be outdone in anything.
"That's right. That's right. Closer to the third rail, Tom. Pull the string. Pull the string. Dance for me."
"Well, there's the ball in the middle of the crane," said Jim Heddles, pointing to where the tennis ball lay near the third rail. "Walk out on this rail and see if you can pick it up."
"Oh, and would you also hold on to this large silver bar for me, please? And take off your shoes. Heavy. We don't want to get the rail dirty."
"Okay, well, but won't my feet get dirty?"
"Oh, no, no. It's very clean rail. Very, very clean."
"Don't you do it, Tom," cried one of the men more familiar with the gantry crane and its operation than Gunderson. No. It'll give you a shock.
Just in time for Shocktoberfest.
Yeah, that's... I love to go to a scary house at a theme park and drink a shock top ale. Is that... I don't really know how Shocktoberfest works, to be honest.
Well, that's because you're not shocktish. Shocktish?
I know how to walk the rail if you do, exclaimed Tom Gunderson hotly. You go ahead and I'll follow. I can do anything you can do.
No, it's I can do anything better than you. Finally, Alan, a song and dance number in one of our stories.
Great. Let's.
Very hard to pull off on the page, you know?
Yeah. Take some imagination, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, in the end, I hope these guys find love together.
Is that what the... Isn't that a brother and sister?
No. It's the love interest.
You listen, it's no judgment. It's just mentally sort of that's in the same category for me as All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
No, it's from a musical. It's like
by... Designed to annoy you?
Yeah, but it's by Irving Berlin.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's like a real song. It's from...
Annie, get your gun.
It's a... Okay, it's, right, turn hold on. To be a...
Hold on.
Yeah.
The song is a duet with one male singer and one female singer attempting to outdo each other in increasingly complex tasks, and they are probably related. See?
But probably.
That's what Wikipedia.
It does backs not me say on. Probably related.
It does now. Wikipedia.
Damn it. Why'd you have to be an editor?
Why did you take this power of everybody in the world anonymously can do?
You're always one step ahead.
All right, said Jim Heddles with a confident smile. I don't know how many volts there are in that rail, but I've learned how to walk a third rail at college, and that's more than you ever learned in the shops. What course do they teach you how to walk a third rail? And by walk a third rail, does he mean walk next to the third rail without touching it? Because I think we all know how to walk a third rail like that.
I don't know, but he minored in it. And damn it, he's going to really force this issue.
And also, can I just say, how do you know it's the third rail? I mean, let's just, it depends where you start counting.
There's always a third rail, man. Come on.
Go ahead, then. Talk won't carry you across the crane.
Oh, Alan, get that down for our line of accessories posters.
Okay.
I picture a photo of a beautiful bird, a crane, of course, with talk won't carry you across the crane.
Okay.
So it'll be hanging in every HR office in America.
Talk won't carry you across the crane.
Right, right. Put, like, Benjamin Franklin underneath it.
His corpse?
Yes, his corpse. Holding up the sign.
Jim, don't be a fool, cried Manager Heddles from below as his son stepped toward the third rail and raised his foot. That'll jolt the daylights out of you. It's charged.
I was joking about the firing thing. You'll always have a cushy job in the company, and we'll put your boat in the company name.
What's that mean?
Well, that means they pay for the insurance and for the boat fees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. They're not going to rename the company IXL SS Shocktoberfest.
The IX, I'd rather be fishing.
IX, well, lordy, lordy, I'm over 40.
The IX Boaty McBoat face. Hell.
And so it ends.
Yeah, I know it. Jim smiled down to his father. I just want to show this machinist that I know as much about the factory as he does. Go ahead then, shouted Tom, beside himself with rage.
You still don't know which floor has the good bathroom, college boy.
Trick question. They're all troughs. For answer, Jim Heddles waved his hand and stepped lightly onto the third rail, running quickly along it, jumping off at the middle, picking up the tennis ball and turning to the awed crowd to cry.
He cried? Oh, wait. Sorry. Got into that for a second.
That's what 23,000 volts does to a man.
I know.
Now, come on, Gunderson. That's what I learned out of a book. Let's see if you can walk the third rail as I did.
This reminds me of my first day at my current job.
Yeah?
Lots of good-natured ribbing and attempted homicides. You know, I may have lost some toes, but I made some good friends.
Well, work friends.
Yeah, you know.
But you only lost work toes, so. Tom started forward. Three or four of his friends grabbed him and tried to pull him back, but he was thoroughly angry and would suffer no restraint. He put his foot on the third rail. Bang! He shot 3 feet into the air and fell flat on the platform.
The end. Well, that was something. Didn't see that twist coming.
Yeah, that was a dilly of a tale.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Wait, there's more on the page. Maybe Tom comes back to haunt Jim? I'd be into that.
Okay, that's a good moral. We'll see how it goes. A dozen friends rushed to his assistance. He sat up, weakly, rubbing the back of his head and crying, "Who hit me? Who hit me?"
Well, they won't hit you, but I have a feeling that OSHA is going to be hitting this company with severe fines. Railings, people. Railings.
I think 104 years later, we're pretty close to back to no OSHA again.
You know, full circle.
Jim Heddle stood in the middle of the crane runway, doubled up with laughter, and the senior Heddles and the crowd below stood in speechless dismay and wonder.
This is what the kids find funny nowadays? Men, let's head over to the nearest vaudeville review. I hear they got girls!
How the deuce did you do it? Cried Tom, rising halfway and shaking his fist frantically at Jim Heddles. Easiest thing in the world, answered the college man. Watch me,
he said as he went to nimbly jump onto the third rail before tripping and landing on it face first. His handsome, man-about-campus features were never the same.
Yeah, but they could probably write a reason into the Cornell Man Strikes Back. You could get around it somehow.
Well, at least his life would later be turned into a musical, Phantom of the Factory, which coincidentally had its score written by Gantry Crane. It was during his cocaine years.
It's a few too many callbacks, I think. Probably be a limit. He stepped lightly onto the third rail and ran rapidly back until he reached Tom's side. Then he jumped off and held up one shoe for Tom's inspection. It was a rubber-soled tennis shoe.
Oof, Reebok pumps. Sounds like Daddy's boy had a nice Christmas. Just pump it.
Oh, said Tom weakly, looking down at his own hobnailed shop shoes, of which he had been so boastful only a few days before. I forgot. I didn't notice that you had them on. I didn't stop to think.
And that's why you're not management material, Tom. Have you thought of something in the division of picking up drop nails and screws?
Do they have an executive program?
I'm thinking now more of the sweeping up cube shavings. Here's your...
Well, could I get in a mentor relationship with the man in head of picking up cube filings?
Just listen to the broom. It'll explain everything.
That's another thing I learned in books, remarked Jim Heddles triumphantly.
How to revive the dead. I think it was called the Necronomicon or something. I borrowed it by some fella named Abdul who was in my frat. Man, that guy was full of hijinks.
Necronomicon.
Do, 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 do.
What is? Asked Tom. I learned to stop and think. I noticed that you had leather-soled shoes on, and I took a chance on your not thinking that my tennis shoes had rubber soles and formed a perfect insulation against the current of electricity.
I also took a chance that you wouldn't be fried to a crisp, but you're poor, so I decided the risk was worth it.
Hey, Hey, remember when this was all about tennis? It seems like such a fucking long time ago. How did we get here?
It's about everything. Everything goes to electricity sooner or later.
Crazy ride.
It's a crazy ride.
Well, you've got me, said Tom, forcing a smile and rising to shake hands with the boss's son.
His hair slightly sizzling from the electricity and his shoulder twitching rapidly.
Tom finally making a grounded connection through the other man and with his last moments, taking the young fancy lad down with him.
Poetic.
Manager Heddles pushed his way through the crowd and grasped the hands of both. Wow, what a tragic three-way homicide this is.
Could you get your foot off the third rail, Tom?
Let this put an end to all rivalry between you boys in the shop and you in the office.
We'll start with equal pay for both groups. Nah, I'm just funning you. You shop boys are going to work for peanuts until someone invents robots, and I can fire all of you. Now, who wants drinks at O'Brien's pub? Office guys can use the petty cash.
I mean, I don't even think he needs to replace the workers. He just needs one of those tennis ball machines. Was like,
that's all they do, like, apparently.
I mean, they spend a good 85% of the workday on this.
He's a firm believer in work-life balance.
He said, turning to his son, you've got a head on your shoulders. I wouldn't wonder if you'd be manager here someday, in spite of the fact that you are hampered with a college education.
Now let's go get in the new Bentley I just bought you and throw coins at poor people on the sidewalk, son. I love you.
I love you too, Dad, but it hurts a lot more if we drop them from the tops of our penthouses.
Ooh, let's get the blimp.
The end. Well, that was a story about rich people and tennis and college and light rail systems, yeah. And that store that sells clothes for fat guys.
IXL?
Yeah, something like that, right?
Yeah,
I'll pretend like I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
What would you, Rob, say that the moral of this story was?
You know, I struggled on this one, Alan, because as far as I can tell, the only moral to this story is you should not be poor because then you'll know how electricity works. So go out there and make money and go to college so you're not a moron.
I guess I would say it's if you're playing tennis with somebody, they're probably wearing tennis shoes. Like, don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
It's a good lesson for all of us.
Well, I hope you can join us next week for another exciting Interrupted.
Like a bridge between two factory buildings, I will blow you up like a bridge.
Tail.